Encouragement by a good teacher turns a student around. Thought for today. Encouragement by a good teacher turns a student around. This is something that many people have experienced. They have seen a teacher who will not say no to a student. They'll not say to a student, you can't make it, you're not any good. They just talk to the student and find out what's the problem. It's like the little boy who comes in and says to his mother, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. And the mother, having the wisdom of a good teacher, says to the little boy, what seems to be the problem? And then they get to the problem. The problem's not the mother, but the child's experiences. So it is with the student. The problem is not the student or the teacher, but it's some of the life experiences that the student is going through. Now, a good teacher can help a student to find themselves, to turn them around, to give them new directions, new goals, new aspirations, new ways of looking at things. And this is a very beneficial thing. But how many good teachers do we know? How many teachers do we know who have the patience to work with students who seemingly are disrespectful, discourteous, seemingly slow learners, seemingly having no motivation, no desire, no goal to be anything at all in life? How many teachers can work against the tide of things like that and still progress to benefit the student? Well, I would imagine if the truth is known, most teachers have to go through experiences like that with many students. Not all students, thankfully, but many. Because many students, they come from homes of different backgrounds where the parents are not always so supportive of the student and their lessons. That the state wants the student to go to school, that the state requires that the student have education and so forth, and that the student is not available at home to help take care of the house, to maintain the house. In the olden days, many children were the desire of the family because you needed many hands on the farm. You need many legs. You need many bodies to do all the jobs that had to be done on the farm. So the parents just went into the children-making factory, and they produced children every year, one or more, depending upon what their capacity was. And so in a few years, they had sufficient students, sufficient laborers on their farm to get things done. Now, true, some of the children were quite small, and they were not able to do a lot, but they were able to go out and bring the eggs in from the chicken house. They were able to do the little chores that were required of them, and as they grew older, they were able to do the bigger chores. Now, these young people had no other direction or goal or expectation in life than to do the things that they were told to do. So they, all of their lives, did the things they were told to do. They might have objected somewhere along the line, but basically a good stern rod reminding them that they follow their parents' desires was sufficient to keep them in line. So even though they may have had great aspirations to do other things, they did what they were told. Now, is this the type of education, is this the type of training, is this the type of expression we want to create ourselves in? All right. You create yourself being born in the year 1700, 1800, 1900, doesn't matter, 2000. You create yourself being born in that year. You can create yourself in a poor family where everyone has to work as quickly and as much as they can. When the children come home from school, they have to do the chores that are required of them, go out and have a paper route, and go out and work in a grocery store to help supplement the family's income. They can live in a modest income where they have sufficient to live on, or they can live in a wealthy home, or they can live in a home that's super wealthy. That's not unusual. Now, what is going to come of those children? All of them basically have the same capacities. But many are born with a silver spoon in their mouth and have special conditions that are available to them. But think about this. Why are these children born into these environments? By their choice. We say, oh, but surely not. No one would want to be born into a limited circumstance. Oh, yes. If we believe the law of cause and effect, which says that nothing happens by chance, for everything there is a cause put in motion, if we believe that, in our human world, in our human life, then we must acquiesce to the idea that all things are created by our desire for them. But who would have a desire to do that? Well, you take the great chess player of the world. He does not enjoy playing chess against people who are his inferior, people who he can easily slaughter. He does not have an enjoyment. If you're a swimmer and you are swimming against your mother who is pregnant with twins, you know, is that a great joy to you to race against her? No. Because, you know, she is unable to perform at her top. Even though she's an Olympic swimmer herself, when she's pregnant with two babies, she's not going to strain her body and cause a premature birth for the children. So, you see, but what you do, you create yourself having a lot of very wonderful people to play and work with you who challenge you, who challenge your abilities, who challenge your genius, who challenge your wildest idea. Now, this is the way it works. Now, if you like to say it doesn't work that way, go right ahead. But it is not the truth. That is how it works. What would you like to have? If you were talented as a musician, would you like to go down and hear some students who are just beginning practice? That wouldn't please you very much. Would you like to hear an exquisitely orchestrated orchestra playing something? Wow, yes. Do people who are learning how to play music, do they always enjoy the more quality type music persons before they have themselves gained that level? Well, many do. And to many, it's the inspiration that moves them on to playing well later on themselves. However, what we do is we create every aspect of our world, every incident of our world, everything that takes place in our world, we create it. And as we create it, we are creating it because it is a challenge to us, because it's fun. We do not consider it fun to swim in a mud puddle because you cannot get under the water. Your knees touch the bottom and the back of your legs are out of the water. There's not hardly any place to go swimming. And so you would like to have a nice pool, maybe 2 or 3 feet deep, 10 feet deep, something, you know. Now, if you're a diver, you'd like it to be very deep because you'd like to come off the high dive and go, shoom, and then come swooping back up again. But if there's a very small and a very shallow pool, you dive in, clunk, and that's all she writes, you know. You want to have a challenge. Now, a shallow pool would be a challenge, wouldn't it? It'd be a very great challenge. There are those who have met that challenge and done so beautifully. But they're rare. They're few and far between. Where are you on your level of being a student? Have you had encouragement by a good teacher who has turned you around? Have you had someone who believed in you while you were finding your way? Have you had someone who thought that you were really a worthwhile person and stimulated that thought in you so that you believed that you were a worthwhile person all the while you were not giving what might be considered your best? Yes. Yes, this happens all the time. This happens all the time. Now, Ellen likes to play the game of genius, you know. She goes around to every little newborn baby and says, oh, you're a genius, you're a genius. Well, hey, that's easy. That's easy. They haven't shown themselves yet. Now, if she goes around to, say, the people in the adults in her world, and she says, hey, you're a genius, and they say, well, thanks a lot, you know, I'd like to be a genius, but I follow the ball. I'd like to be a genius, but I haven't got the brilliance for it. I'd like to be a genius, but my job just, my boss just fired me because I'm not a genius. You see, it's easy to tell little tiny babies you're a genius because there is no objection there. There is no knowledge that goes contrary. But when you talk to individuals and you say they are geniuses, and they want to challenge you by saying, but they're not, and you acquiesce to their challenge, then you're not having any fun playing the game. If you call someone a genius and they show you they're not, you, with your genius, show them they are. Show them where they are a genius. They're a genius at being an idiot. They're a genius at being wonderful or marvelous or talented. We don't have to listen to what seems to be the way to say how a genius should act. A genius is merely some person who has chosen to act in a certain way most interestingly. I've known a lot of geniuses who do things in a strange way. They'll, well, for instance, we saw this movie on this Indian reservation where the fire...
Smoke signal,
right. And in the movie, what was one of the genius activities that went on in there, which was the activity of an absolute idiot, but a genius activity, speak loud. When the girls were driving backwards, they got in their car and they had nothing to amuse them, nothing to try their talents, nothing to challenge them, so they took their car and drove it backwards. And they drove it backwards at a rather rapid speed, and they thought nothing of it. And the two boys that they picked up to give a lift to them, they drove them backwards. They drove them backwards, perhaps 4 or 5 miles, to get them to where they wanted to go to the bus depot. But how could they do this? That's stupid. It's idiotic. It is absolutely the work of an ignoramus. But they did it because it was charming. It was challenging. It was fun. It was something to see whether they could do it. And they were conversing with each other, driving along, just as though they were going forward and just having the time of their life. Now you see, in Smoke Signals, you might have missed that one. You remember it, but it was not anything significant to you. But it is significant as far as the genius goes. And what is another significant thing in there? What's another significant thing of a genius in there? We had a chance to see what a shaman was like. We had a chance to see how a shaman acted. The young man whose parents had been killed, he was actually a shaman. He would say things and talk about things and ramble on about things, but then he'd also give insightful actions, attitudes, and words about different things. And he would tell of things that were going to happen. And he was a very insightful young man. But many people thought he was just a pain in the neck. Now, if he were trained by a shaman, they would not think he was a pain in the neck because he would have that title. But he was not trained by a shaman. He was trained by his old maiden aunt who loved him and cared for him, but who was just as kooky as he was. She probably would have been a shamaness if they have shamanesses. But he certainly was a shaman. Now, he did his thing under all the difficult circumstances that he faced. He was brilliant, and he could do anything. He knew everything, and he put himself in harm's way more often than not. That's what he did when he was first born. When he was first born, the house burned down in which he was. And so his parents threw him out of the window to a passing person who caught him
What a thrilling start to life, my goodness sakes. And then to go through life and all these other things. But you see, this is creating your own world, creating your own experiences. Encouragement by a good teacher turns a student around. Whenever there is anyone who is having a challenge as to what it is that thrills them or delights them, if you or I can take the time to help them to find their way and encourage them to be all that they can be, what a privilege we have. What a wonderful privilege. And we may never be beneficiary to any of the things that they do. We may never be appreciated. They may say, get out of my way, old person, you know. Get out of my way, stupid ladies. Get out of my way, dumb man, you know. Don't bother me. But what happened? You plant a seed, and the seed bears fruit. And you, by your encouragement, help virtually everyone to walk the path that they want to walk. You may be pushing them along one direction, but that's merely helping them to open the door in the other direction. And you think that they're not appreciative or paying any attention to what you're doing? Well, they're very much paying attention, because you are helping them open the door to be the wonderful being that they are. And that's quite nice to be that. It's quite nice to be aware of that and to experience it. Encouragement by a good teacher turns the student around. Are you a good teacher? Are you the kind of person who is going to open doors for people as you make suggestions to them as they look within their own mind to their own beauty and harmony? Well, if you do, you're the one who gets the reward. You may never know that they are successful, but you do know that you did your best. You gave your best. You challenged them as you would like to be challenged yourself, and then you released them. And that is beautiful. Encouragement by a good teacher turns a student around, and you can be sure that you are all good teachers. I love you.